Y'all turn in your Bible, if you will, to Matthew 22. We're going to be in the Passion Translation to begin with. I will try to get this right, communicate this well. The Lord spoke some really, really cool, significant stuff to me this past week. And I feel like I'm supposed to begin to lay that revelation out to you guys. I want us this morning to begin to talk about, and I don't know that we'll finish this morning. I'm not going to wear you out with hours. I know I hadn't preached in a couple weeks, but if we'll go to where we need to stop, we'll stop. We'll pick back up next week. I want us this morning to begin to change the way we think. You know, the word repent, how many times we see it in the Bible? How many of you were taught that the word repent means to do a 180? I was, my whole life. You know, stop the way you're going, turn, go the other way. Keeps us safe, keeps us out of trouble, keeps us on God's good side. And the word repent actually means to change the way you think. Look it up in the Greek. It's to change the way you think. Metanoia. When we change the way that we think, then we change our behavior. And so as we are being transformed, a lot of the transformation process, the majority of the transformation process is in our lives, is God stirring and moving on us in such a way that we change the way we think. Because when I change the way that I think, when I change the way that I see, when I change the way that I hear, then I see it through the proper lens. I hear it through the proper lens. I hear it, you know, perhaps with no lens. I hear it clearly. And so I want us to understand that God wants us above everything else to change the way we think about things. God really challenged me this week on the way I think about ministry, about serving. And wow, man, it's really the more time that I spend in dwelling and meditating on it, it's really shook me to my core, and in a good way. And I'm so thankful for it. But I want to today to begin for us to talk about hosting the world. I personally think we have gotten ministry all wrong through the years. The Lord told me, he says, you know how the Western church does ministry? He said, the Western church does ministry and serves like a homecoming parade. You know what a homecoming parade looks like, don't you? Everybody dresses up to look their best. Everybody gets a fancy car. And they drive down the street to all the adoring people. And they wave. Am I getting that right? Is that the right wave? And they wave, and they throw out candy. Here's something sweet. Don't I look good? And it's even a competition among the people in the homecoming parade about which girl's got the prettiest dress or who borrowed the coolest car. Is it still like it? I don't know. It was when my kids were coming through. Our girls were on homecoming, and, you know, it was like, man, I got to get a cool car. You know, and then you get there, and you're like, all right, is my car cooler than everybody else's? Got to go dress shopping, right? Lead, pick out six and then figure out which one she wanted to wear, and we carry the other five back, right, Lori? Gospel. Every time, every event. But God said that's the way we've done ministry. That's the way we've served. We've done ministry like takeout. Or we've done ministry like the Grubhub, where we carry it to you. Isn't that what Grubhub does? Don't they carry it to you? There's two or three of them that do that. Well, we carry it to you. And here, we'll bring this. And this is the package, and this is what it looks like. And it has become like chain restaurants. For the most part, I detest chain restaurants. What used to be good, and we ask ourselves, we say, man, has our palate changed? And I've come to the conclusion it hadn't. I've come to the conclusion that there aren't chefs cooking the food anymore. They're warming it up in a microwave that comes out of some central warehouse that they procured from somewhere. And it's going to look like the same thing every time, but it's just really not that good. Can I get a witness? And that's our approach to ministry. That's our approach to serving. And God said, you want to know what my heart is, and you want to know what my approach to humanity is, my approach to the world is I want to host. I want to host. I want to invite the world to a wedding feast between my son and his bride, and the whosoevers can come. And when they don't have appropriate attire, you know what I'll do, and none of them do, you know what I will do? I will clothe them with my wedding garments and come as you are. And this scripture is the good, bad, and ugly. And God wants us to tap into to His heart on hosting the world, because He hosts the world. I think the first thing that has to change is our mindset and understanding concerning the world. Because I grew up with God's going to burn this piece of mess up anyway, and we're all going to get raptured out here. And the real question, are you a pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib on rapture? When we're going to get out of this mess? Anybody but me? Mark, I knew you grew up in it. We grew up in the same thing. Same thing. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. I'm so angry with you, Brett House, and I want to destroy you. And everything you've done, man, you just deserve to go and to die and to burn into hell. And Jesus jumps in the middle and says, don't beat him, Father. Don't kill him. But the reality is, the Bible says that Father God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself while he was on the cross. The reality is, Psalm 24 says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and the people that inhabit it. That's what it says. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's. He says, for God so loved what? What's that Greek word? Cosmos. For God so loved the world. It didn't say God loved people and this is just some vehicle that we all happen to be riding on, this big rock that's moving through the universe. It said he created this out of his imagination and out of his heart. And the nations and the peoples and the diversity. And he loves that. In the story of the field and the treasure hid in the field, it says that he went and he purchased what? The field. He loved the treasure, but he purchased the field. He didn't negotiate for just the treasure. He bought everything. And we have to believe that the earth is the Lord's. That when Jesus died on the cross, he did not only redeem the people that inhabited the earth, he redeemed everything. And so we have to, and the reason that I'm stressing all of this right now is we have to get out of the mindset that I'm just some stranger that is inhabiting this thing for a short time until I can get out of here. Almost like I'm on Star Trek on some foreign planet, and it's okay for a little while, but then I'm out of here sooner than later, hopefully. And we have to understand that God loves this. God owns this. It is His. He purchased it. He created it. When Adam lost it under the sin curse, Jesus bought it back. And so when we begin to understand that all this is the Lord's, then we begin to understand that all of this is in turn mine. You say, oh, wait a minute now, that's a stretch. Wait a minute. You tell me that you're son of the Father, right? How many of y'all believe you're a son? If you're not, you're lost. If you believe in the blood of Jesus and I'm saved, then I'm a son. As a son, the word clearly tells me I'm a joint heir with Christ. Joint heir with Christ. So I'm an heir. The word tells me, what does He call us? The bride of Christ. So I'm a bride. So I'm in this thing by sonship. I'm in this thing by marriage. And so if all of this is Father's, then all of this is mine. If all of this is Jesus, then as His bride, all of this is mine. We live what you call, I guess, jointly. And that everything that we have is in my name and her name. There's no differentiation. If she goes to the bank, there's no differentiation. They don't say how much is yours and how much is his, you know. I mean, I learned a long time ago everything that was mine was half hers and everything that was hers was all hers. So, you know, it's just the reality, right? Just kidding. Eric, give me a hey, brother. But there's no differentiation. We understand it on a lot of levels, but when we come in and we begin to talk about that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and the people that inhabit and dwell there, we'll get on board with that. But when we begin to say, but oh, it's also Brett House's, well, oh, wait a minute. Then you're denying the power of sonship and bridal relationship. We think God is less than the ideals that we hold ourselves to. And so I think the first thing, I know the first thing that has to happen is for us to begin to understand God's heart and viewpoint toward the world, God's heart and viewpoint toward the peoples of the world. And He never struggles with the fact that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In order for us to properly minister, in order for us to properly serve, we have to understand this foundational truth that the way that I minister and the way that I serve is a host. And you know how you host? You're in possession of something. Until you understand you're in possession of something, you can't properly host. You can go into a borrowed facility and rent a facility and you can still host because you're in possession of the event. When we do a fundraiser for Project World, we go in, and whether it's at the shed or wherever it may be, we go, and your name is not on the document at the courthouse. But when you come in, who's hosting? It's not Virginia. You are. You're hosting. And the only way that we can properly, effectively minister the kingdom and serve in the kingdom is to understand that we are hosting. When you go to Honduras, they are not hosting you. You are hosting them. When you do the bonfire on the hill and the communities come, when you do the VBS and you have the communities come, who's hosting? Gringos. Because it's yours. Not that you own it. You could move the event to somewhere you didn't own. When they serve four meals a day, or four meals a week, five meals a week, whatever it is now, it's in their school, but you're hosting. Let's read some scripture, and I want to go somewhere with this. I think is very significant. We're going to start in Matthew 22, verse 1. It says, as was his custom, Jesus continued to teach the people by using allegories. He illustrated the reality of heaven's kingdom realm by saying, there once was a king who arranged an extravagant wedding feast for his son. On the day the festivities were set to begin, he sent his servants to summon all the invited guests, but they chose not to come. So the king sent even more servants to inform the invited guests, saying, come, for the sumptuous feast is now ready. The oxen and fattened cattle have been killed, and everything is prepared. So come. Come to the wedding feast for my son and his bride. But the invited guests were not impressed. One was preoccupied with his business. Another went off to his farming enterprise. And the rest seized the king's messengers and shamefully mistreated them and even killed them. This infuriated the king. So he sent his soldiers to execute those murderers and had their city burned to the ground. Then the king said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready. Yet those who had been invited to attend didn't deserve the honor. Now I want you to go into the streets and alleyways and invite anyone and everyone you find to come and enjoy the wedding feast in honor of my son. So the servants went out in the city streets and invited everyone to come to the wedding feast, good and bad alike, until the banquet hall was crammed with people. Now when the king entered the banquet hall, he looked with glee over all his guests. Make a mental note of that in your mind. He looked with glee over all his guests. But then he noticed a guest who was not wearing the wedding robe provided for him. So he said, my friend, how is it you're here and you're not wearing your wedding garment? He had provided it, guys. He had provided it. But the man was speechless. Then the king turned to his servants and said, tie him up and throw him into the outer darkness where there will be great sorrow with weeping and grinding of teeth. For everyone is invited to enter in, but few respond in excellence. I tell you what started all of this with me was this week, and it began as something that was something that I took note of. And I said, man, that's excellent. And I love the attention to detail. But God said, listen to me, let me teach you, let me speak to you concerning this, okay? So I don't mean to offend anybody, but, you know, here goes. So we were at the beach this week, and we had some villas rented. And we had our meals at the villas. And they prepared the meals and they served us, and we're sitting at a table as a family together and all of this. And they would come in for the meals, and he would ask and he would say, what type of wine do you want with your meal? And, you know, he would come to me because my mom was there. She's 87. She's the matriarch of our household. But Lori and I were hosting the trip. There's something that you need to understand is that you in life are hosting the world. And it's not just the preacher. It's not just the youth leader. It's not just the elders of the house. It's not your favorite evangelist. You are hosting the world. And so he came to me as host, and he said, what type of wine do y'all want to drink? And I would pick one out, and he would bring it to the table. and he would open the wine in front of me. Just a little note on this. God will always come and open it in front of you as a personal thing. Because he wants you to see the origin of it. Come on, somebody. This is good right here. Side note, but this is good. He wants you to see the origin of it. He wants you to know that it is fresh. He wants you to know that it is individually for you. If you order a glass of house wine, you know what they do? They bring you a glass of wine and they hand it to you. But if you order a bottle, they will come and they will show you the bottle. They will open it in front of you so that you know this is mine. And God wants to do this in your lives. Mark, God will come in and he's not going to bring you some random glass that Bob was drinking out of last night. He's saying, Mark, this is for you. This is your family. This is for those that you are hosting. Understand this, guys. It's so significant and it is so personal. It's personal. You know what the good ones all also do? If they still have it, a lot of them are screw top now, but you know what they'll do? They'll leave the cork on the table for you. They laid the cork laying right there. And then he would come in and he would pour about that much. Almost like communion. A little bit bigger than communion, but not much. He would pour that. And then he would step back. And he'd wait for me in my day. And I'm not fancy. I'm not a sommelier, so I can't do all the swirls. And, you know, I'd have to talk to somebody a whole lot sharper than me. I can smell and get a little bit, but then taste. And he would look at me and he was like, is that good? You know. Used to, I'd be like, oh man, it'd be all right, just pour it up. But he waits for you to say, to taste and see the Lord that he is good. Drink deeply of the Lord. And I would taste it. Swish it around, try to get all the flavors and the notes and all the good little stuff. And I would always be like, yeah man, that's good. And then you know what he would do? Then he would go to everybody else at the table. Anybody else that was partaking of the wine, he would pour their glass. And then he would pour their glass and pour their glass and their glass. He had it right. He would go to all the women first. Then he'd hit bread up. And then he would come back to me last after everybody else had been served. And everybody else was enjoying, beginning to enjoy theirs. And then he would fill my glass where I could drink. And God began to teach me about how we minister, Sharon, and how we serve. And you know what we do? Is we're like, I'll pour it up, it'll be good, it's from the Lord. Go ahead and pour mine up, and I'm going to drink, and whenever something's left over, then maybe I will regurgitate it to my guest. Be pretty gross if I tasted and swished around in my mouth and then spit it in Lori's glass and say, this is pretty good. Why don't you try some? But he wants us to drink deeply, taste the goodness, and then sit back as he pours it out to those we are hosting. But it's all about, let me get mine, and when we're done, then you can have some. Or we don't host at all. You know, it's kind of a fine line in there. You know, if you're having a nice bottle of wine with a group of people that you're hosting, it's classy. If you're sitting there by yourself with it, then you're like, right? And that's the way we've done ministry, guys. And then we've gone out and told everybody about how good the wine was. God did this, and it was amazing, and he was awesome, and all of this. Instead of hosting and allowing him to minister and pour out his goodness to everybody that we're hosting. We've got to learn to host the world. Not just Our little group. The world. That's the thing I love about this story. The ones that should receive it didn't think it was significant enough. So he said, man, go bring whoever. So he started bringing them in. And I told you to make a mental note a while ago. And you know what it said right here? It says that now when the king entered the banquet hall, he looked with glee over all his guests. He sat back as the host and he said, look at this. All of these people are here to celebrate the marriage of my son and his bride with us. And his heart was full. It wasn't like I got all my super pack together. It looks like me, thinks like me. But I'm hosting the world because God so loved the world. We had a little Messiah guy that was serving us when we were in the bush. And he's pretty bold about his faith, which I love. I've heard him praying with and over other guests a few years ago. And he always joined in when we were praying before our meals. And I asked him, I said, Calvin, will you lead up our family in prayer tonight? He said, I would be honored. And he came in and we held hands as we were sitting around and he started the prayer and he said, Father. He said, Father. And it wrecked me. Because this guy on the other side of the world that looks nothing like me has a totally opposite background from what I've got. I don't know his viewpoint on politics, economics, on anything. But when he said, Father, it broke my heart in a good way. Because I had been hosting, but then all of a sudden in that moment, you know, there was this great shift. And all of a sudden he was hosting us into his world. Think about that. I had been the host. But James, when he led us in prayer, all of a sudden, guess who was hosting who? And he was not hosting us into his country. He was hosting us into his world. Where he said, Father. And he began to pray a beautiful, simple prayer. But he hosted us into his world. And that is the way that we reach humanity. That is the way we reach our family. That is the way we reach our peers. That is the way we reach our realm of influence. That is the way we reach people in foreign countries. You know the secret of what's going to happen when ministry done in Honduras is when you guys, and then you're doing this, and this is a process that God's taking all of us into, is when we come in and we host them into our world on their land, but we host them into our world. Sorry, I view it as my land, and that's not a capitalistic American expansionist standpoint. It's mine because it's my daddy's. You know, I walk on foreign soil. It's mine because it's my daddy's. Oh, you can have a title deed and you can live here. That's cool. But it's my daddy's. And so you know what I want to do? I want to host you into my world because I'm hosting you into his world. And it is a daily, detailed thing, guys. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's a continual taste and see. Nick, it goes back to what she was saying to you all ago on God will be specific in speaking to you and it'll be fresh. The word says that his mercies are new every morning. You know what he would do, the guy that was serving us, Ephraim? Is he would come and he would pour the wine. Well, there, you know, typically it's about five of us drinking wine. Y'all know a bottle of wine that don't serve five people. Real skinny, maybe. But after another comes out, he would bring a new bottle. And Father God spoke to him and he said, I am so like this. He would bring a new bottle from the same vineyard, same grapes, maybe even bottled in the same year. And you know what he would do? He would come to me because I'm hosting. And he would open it. And he would pour just a little bit. And he would say, taste this and make sure it's good. And you know what we do? We say, God, that's what you did last year. Keep doing it. That's what you did last week. Keep doing it. That's what you did last month in this guy's life. Just keep doing it. And God says, I've got something new for you today in this moment. And I want you to taste and see and drink deeply that it is good. That I am good in this moment. God met you a month ago. He met you a week ago. He met you yesterday. But today he comes in and he says, I have something new for you, Nick White. And he says, taste and see. And we taste it and we give him the nod. And he says, okay, that's good. And then you know what he does? Then he goes and serves everybody else. And his host, I sit back in glee. Because I said, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. I get mine at the end. But this is beautiful. You don't, you want to start impacting people? Host. Host. We've turned church into chain restaurants. We've turned evangelism into chain restaurants. Something starts out good because they franchised it. But you can't tell me, sorry if it's your favorite restaurant, you can't tell me Chili's or Longhorn or any of these guys started out like they are now. They started out as something worth replicating. But somewhere along the way, it became a business and impersonal. And God wants us to get back to organic faith. I know that's an overused word, but he wants us to get back to organic faith. He wants us to get back to a faith where we understand that I am a host and I have something to offer the world. And you can't do that if you don't love the world. You can't do that if you don't love the world. For God so loved the world. You can't do that if you hate the left. You can't do that if you hate people that are a different color than you. You can't do that if you hate somebody that likes another sports team. I hate them. I hate Georgia fans. I hate Georgia fans. You know how many times I've heard that? You know how many times I've heard Georgia fans say, I hate Alabama fans. Give a flip what kind of t-shirt you got on. Are you following me this morning? One of my favorite experiences from a restaurant standpoint is Randy and Terry were with us when we were in Italy. And we asked our gondolier, was like, man, where's a good, if you want to know where a good restaurant is, ask your gondolier if you're in Venice. Dude, they will hook you up without fail. And he said, oh, there's this place, and it's around here, around here, around here. You go in, and the menu is not in English, so you know it's a winner. You know. And they come in, and the waiter's broken English and all that. And we sit down, and Lori orders duck. We like duck. She loves duck. She'll order duck on any menu. 9 times out of 10, it's a winner. And it was absolutely amazing. And you remember that night. I know you remember that night. The waiter comes back and he asks about it. And, you know, I don't remember what all the other I was got it. I don't remember it all. But we're like, oh, man, it is so good. And I'm out. I say, what kind of duck is that, man? That's amazing. That's the best duck we've ever had. Because, we're all sharing off Lori's plates. You know, she gets about that much. And everybody's unscarfing it down. I said, what kind of duck is that? He looks. It's a small restaurant. He looks across the restaurant, and the owner's standing behind the bar, surveying. See, this owner's hosting everyone in his restaurant. He's hosting everyone in his restaurant. And he looks, and he's like, one moment. And he goes back, and he starts talking to the owner. And I see the owner get on the phone. And he comes back to the table, and he said, just a moment. The owner comes over there and gets me, and he's very broken English and all that stuff, carries us back to the kitchen. He had called the producer that he buys his ducks from to find out what kind of duck that was. And he carries back to the kitchen. I don't remember if y'all went, but I'm back in the kitchen, and you got all these chefs and the fire going and all this and all that, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, Italian and everything. And the owner's trying to explain to me what kind of duck this is. I was just bragging on his duck, but you know what? It became something very, very, very personal to him. And you know what he was doing? He was hosting me in his world. And he said, come into my kitchen. And you know what God says to you? He says, come into my kitchen. This is where the magic happens. I'm not withholding anything. You can see everything right here. That was the word to you this morning, Nick. God said, come into my kitchen. I'm not going to withhold anything. We had a guy that we were friends with, and he was a good cook. Lori would always ask him, you know, say, how do you make this and how do you cook this? And he'd give us 90% of the recipe, but it always felt like he was holding out one or two ingredients because he didn't want ours to be as good as his. God's not like that. We can't be like that. Quit trying to mass produce it. The one kid you were telling me about, Nick, in wrestling, that's the one you go with. The others too, yes. But let that kid in your world host him in your world. Not just Carrollton Wrestling. I ain't knocking Carrollton Wrestling. Love to see what you're doing over there. Your world's a lot bigger than Carrollton Wrestling. It's a kingdom realm. It's a kingdom realm. Learn to host. That's how you minister. Learn to host. Don't quit franchising. Quit franchising. Quit franchising. We were visiting some friends in Texas a few years ago. Their daughter had graduated from high school or something, and we went out and had a graduation party, all right. Like, oh, come to church with us. And so we went. And this sounds negative, and maybe it is. It's just, it's not me. And we go to the satellite church. And you got a live worship team and all that, which is fine. Then all of a sudden, the big screen pops up, and some perky little girl says, welcome to so-and-so. I'm 420 miles away at our main campus, but welcome today. I'm like, you're not even here. Pastor Borblo's got an amazing word for us today, so let's sit back and enjoy. And all of a sudden, I'm watching YouTube of Pastor So-and-so. And I'm like, you're not even here. I love listening to Bill Johnson. Damon Thompson. I watch live stream. But you know where the power is? It's when you host in your kitchen, proverbial kitchen. When somebody asks you about the duck, and you call the producer and say, I'm not sure, but he can tell me what this is. They ask you a hard question, like, man, I don't know, but let me talk to my father about it. That's a restaurant you remember. Sorry if you got stock in Longhorns or Chili's, but it's a lot different, a Longhorn or a Chili's. I'm sure at some point in history, McDonald's probably made a pretty good hamburger. Back in 1961 when they first started out. Right? You see what I'm saying today, guys, about God so loved the world and us reaching the world and us ministering to the world. It starts and it ends with us hosting the world in our lives. Here's the thing, and I'll finish with this. Your story is a lot more amazing than you think. Your world is a lot more amazing than you think. I don't know about y'all. I didn't have a great college experience. Didn't dig it. Went 3 years. Finally said, forget this. Quit. Got married. But the thing that got me about college, that I didn't like about college, besides all the Sigma Nu guys running around like they were the baddest guys on the planet. Were you Sigma Nu? I'm sorry. No. Okay. Was sitting in professors' business classes that had never run a business in their life. But they could tell you every theory about business. You want to learn about deer hunting? Talk to Courtney White. I'm serious. Don't talk to somebody that I read it in a book. I've watched 86 YouTube programs, or I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night. You don't learn about it? Talk to him. He's probably killed thousands. And I had all these professors telling me, this is how you do business. I've never run one, but this is how you do it, because my professor told me how to do business. And there was nobody ever bringing me into their kitchen. I learned it in the business world, talking to real business owners, going through it myself in the real business world. And God wants us to be a people of genuine authenticity that understands that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Therefore, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. And that I can host well. My world is interesting. Everybody in here, please, you don't have to say it out loud, because I hate it when preachers do that. But say it to yourself. Andrew, your world's amazing. Your husband's pretty amazing. Just kidding. You're amazing. Your story's amazing. You're amazing, Todd. Brand plucked out of the fire. Look at where you are now. Y'all got an amazing daughter. I'll go ahead and say that. I'm a huge fan. That's worth hosting. That's not, that's a, it's a shame when we seclude that and withhold it from the world. Because you say, I just don't think it's good enough. Everybody in here, your story is amazing. I keep going back to you. I'm sorry, Nick. Today's Nick Sunday. Pick on Nick Day. And it's Bless Nick. And it's Phil Nick Day. I don't know how you view yourself. I mean, deep down, really, you know that, hey, man, I'm good. I'm good supporting cast. Man, you're the star in your movie. In your life, it's your world, it's your realm, it's your kingdom, it's yours and Amanda's world. It's your world, and then when y'all's world comes together, it becomes y'all's world. And that is something that is attractive and amazing. That is something that the world needs. But they'll never get it if you always deflect to somebody else. If you always deflect to Brett House or James or Sister Lori or Madeline. You know, we always used to say, well, that's not my gig. And I love it when we say that and God laughs. He says, because it really is. You just hadn't found it yet. I like where you are right now, Judah. This is a compliment, not a knock, okay? You're kind of in between being a kid and not a kid, you know? Being a kid and a young man. You're just right in that range. And you're kind of like Ricky Bobby. You don't know what to do with your hands, you know? Y'all remember that from the movie? Sorry, I'm regressing. Where he's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. But in the midst of that, in that process, you know what God's going to do? God's going to bring, if you allow him to, God is going to bring this amazing uniqueness and individuality out of that that's non-conforming to everybody else. Don't try to be like all of that. Just, man, be you. Because it is interesting and it is amazing and it will even get more so. And if we are honest and we are open and we open our kitchen up, you know what people will do? They will say, that is the most amazing duck. What kind of duck is that? Your life's amazing. What's the secret sauce? I want what you have. And I'm not talking about stuff. I'm talking about peace, hope, joy, love, confidence. I love the fact that a Messiah would say, well, you know, we believe that God's given us all the cattle on the earth. And I'm like, dude, you walking around in a skirt and flip-flops. But in his heart, he truly believes that. And he would not trade places with Eric Labby for a second. Or Sid for a second. They think they live in the most beautiful place on the earth and everything else is just a trash heap. Not saying trash heap. And I love that. The uniqueness of your story. How amazing your story is. Let me finish with this. I wasn't lying when I said this is kind of a continuation finish. I'm going to close this and I'm going to open this real quick. Isaiah 60. Hey, Casey, can you pop that up right quick? Thank you. Isaiah 60. It says, arise. Verse 1. I'm in King James. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon. Put your name right there. Upon Sid. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy son shall come from far. Thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together. And thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Thy light. Thee. In the gospel, Jesus says, you are a city set on a hill. That's not a statue with uplighting. He didn't say you're a decorated monument. He said you're a city set on a hill. You know what a city set on a hill was? Something that was inviting you to come. If you are a traveler and it's getting dark, what are you looking for? The lights of a city, a town, a place where I can go into for food, for shelter, for safety, for provision. Somewhere that would host me. And I wouldn't go to the gates and knock on the gates, but it's closed. But there was a track on the front door telling me how to get saved. I've done my share of that. Jesus said, you're a city. And weary travelers in darkness are looking for a place of refuge, a place of hope. And it's called Norma Grizzard. That's it. It's called Norma Grizzard. And you know where they find all these things? In you hosting. So today, open the gates to your life. You say it's not much. Might be exactly what that person needs. It might be a simple little containment that keeps the lions of the world from getting to you. But it's exactly what the world needs. So get the sign off that says closed. Get the sign off that says I'm on sabbatical. Get the sign off that says I'm on vacation. Get the sign off that says I'm out to lunch. Me and Lori will go visit places and we're like, you know, you'll go into, let's say, Park City, Utah, and all the shops close at 6 o'clock. I'm like, why? Why? And we always say this. We say, they don't like to make, me and Randy said this 1,000 times, they don't like to make money like we might like to make money. If that's me, I'd be open till 9 o'clock because that's when the tourists are out walking around getting dinner. Right? Sounds simple, right? You know what the church says? Come back Sunday morning at 10:30 if you want something. Listen to that podcast if you want something. Oh, but send your tithe check. You know what they need? Is an open sign. An open sign. Because that's what the king of the wedding feast did. He said, bid them to come. And not only bid them to come, I'm going to taste the goodness, but they're getting served. And I'll sit back with glee while they do. That's got to be your mindset. That's how we touch the world. That's how we walk in fulfillment and joy. Okay? You say, I don't have peace in my life? That might be a clue right there. Because your sign has said closed for way too long. Let's stand to our feet. Chew on this word, let God bring it back to you and pretend like you've got more than one stomach and you've got to chew on your cud a while. Regurgitate it back and chew on it. And because this thing had to grow in me. But God built us to host. You say, I don't like to host. Well, if you're in the image of Christ, he loved to host. Everywhere he went, he was the host. Even when he was the guest, he was the host. You ever notice that about Jesus? Everywhere he went, even when he was the guest, he was the host. As it should be with you, with Calvin the other night, with all of us. All right. Micah, this is another one of those. How do I close this? I don't know how to close this. Lord, you got anything you want to close this? Somebody bail me out. Amen. Norma, you want to close this? Yeah, come on up. Yes, ma'am, come here. Norma, bail me out. You're my friend, Norma. You can just pray if you want to. You can pray. You can share. It's something that fullness in you. You host well. Norma hosts well. If you don't know Norma, Norma hosts well. And I love to see what God's doing in her and her family. And it's exciting. It's exciting to me.
God's good.
He is good. He's amazing.
God is good.
That's it. Well, why don't you just close this? Or you know, here you talk.
I probably shouldn't this time. My day will come when I will get up here and talk, but now I'm just going to close. It's been so good in God's house today. That's a lot to chew on. A whole lot to chew on.
Amen.
I hope we all do that. And we'll close this
up. Yes, ma'am.
Father, thank you so much for this time with your people. What a treasure to be in your presence. What a treasure. Lord, I pray that, Father, that this day each one of us, Lord, that we would get our minds fixed on you, this word that we've heard, and that we would just chew on it. We would meditate on it, Lord, that we would not just discard it in the business that's going to come back into our day. And we all face that, all those things that pull us away from you. But I know, Lord, that you're trying to teach us something that's revolutionary. You're trying to teach us something that's going to change our world and this world. And so, God, I just pray that it would just sink deep into us. And, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this body of believers and what they mean and have meant to me over the years, and the ones that I'm going to come to know over the course of time that I don't even know that well yet. I pray you just you teach us how to knit together as a body. And that we would learn what Sydney's talking about hosting, what this really, get us out of our mindset of what that means and take us to a new place, to what that really means is for us to host your presence and to host our brothers and sisters, Lord. We love you so much, and thank you for this day. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was beautiful.